Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overcast skies, wind out of the northeast at 15, 48 chilly degrees. Here on a sports Saturday on CCO, Eric Nelson with you, the LP edition. We are going until 7:30, and then the Twins Magazine show begins. 8:30, the pregame with Chris Atterbury, 9:10, first pitch from Seattle. Corey and Danny with the call. Devin Hester Marshall is our studio coordinator, and in the newsroom, Sloan Martin. Well, speaking of the Minnesota Twins, they are scorching hot. They'll try to get win number 30 tonight against the Mariners at T-Mobile Park. And joining us now, our good friend Al Newman, two-time World Series champion with the Twins back in 87 and 91. Al, how you doing?
What's going on, Eric? Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. The Twins have had a lot of day games, so it's squeezed our airtime a bit. But this game in the Pacific time zone allows me to bring you back on. And you were calling it back in spring training, Al. You were very optimistic. But did you think this was going to happen? 29 wins
well,
on
I
May
tell you what,
18th.
Eric, I tell you, when I was down there in spring training, I just saw a freshness. I saw, you know, when people say that you had a hemp in your step.
Yeah.
Everybody was light on their feet and seemed to be enjoying themselves. I started in spring training when, Rocco decided he was going to change the way spring training was done. And the guys didn't have to show up, in the middle of the morning and just sit around. So I think a lot of that was what come forth now. The guys believe in themselves and they think they can make it happen.
Where do you start with this revival, Al? Do we start with Rocco, the young manager who so far has pushed the right buttons most of the time?
Well, you know, in my mind, and Eric, and you know, Joe Mauer was a great player for the Minnesota Twins. But when he retired, that salary became available. And, you know, they required Gonzalez. You know, they brought those guys in. You got Perez. And you know, not that Joe wasn't a good ball player, but it gave him salary flexibility. And that lengthened our lineup, and our young players are developing. And we are where we are right now with the third best run differential in the major leagues and the third or fourth best record in baseball. So I'm excited for this summer.
Yeah, it's really been good stuff so far. And I know, Al, you're a guy who values defense. Back when you played for TK, that was, you know, you had to be able to make the routine play and occasionally make a great play. And here's what's impressive to me, Al. We knew the outfield was good. No raindrops will fall. Rosario, Buxton, Kepler. That was a given. The infield,
yes,
though, completely turned over. Until Sano came back, you know, Gonzalez, Polanco had a 80-game suspension going on a year ago at this time. You got
exactly.
Scope, you've got Crone, three catchers back there behind the dish, and yet this is a very solid team defensively.
Oh, most definitely. I think we're in the top five defensively, which definitely has an effect on our pitching staff. We've got three starters with six wins. You've got Gibson, who is Gibson. I mean, he's consistent. He's a 500 pitcher. He's a third or fourth starter. He's exactly where he should be. And then you have Pineda, who's coming off Tommy John. Now, I know a lot of people, some of my closest friends, are wondering why he's still in the rotation. But, you know, give the guy time. He's going to build up stamina. He's going to get his arsenal back. But we have three quality pitchers, so every time we go into a series, we get an opportunity to win that series, and that's what the team has done, and that's why they're one of the better ball clubs in the major leagues.
Al Newman, our guest here on a Sports Saturday on CCO, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball. Al, of course, a two-time World Series champ with the Twins. Another shrewd move in the offseason, Al, that is certainly bearing fruit, and that was the decision by Thad Levine and Derek Falvey to extend Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler, a couple of young building blocks. They look like big-time bargains now. It reminds me of the old Brian Dozier deal.
Oh, for sure. And you know, I have to say Kepler is my favorite player and has been since he got to the big leagues. I just really enjoyed his story. I like him in the number one spot and then down in the order when he's facing a left-handed pitcher. I think Rocco is just pushing a lot of buttons, but they've done a great job. I can't commend them enough. And they brought back the excitement of going to the ball games. You know, after 40, close to 50 games now, people are excited to go to Target Field.
Yeah, no question. And Jorge Polanco, you know, they certainly missed him for those 80 games when he had the PED suspension a year ago. But he's come back, and he's playing at all-star level, Al. 8 home runs, 20 RBI, 12 doubles, 5 triples. He's had 2 5-hit games. We've seen a cycle out of him. Defensively, he makes the plays. How good can Jorge Polanco be?
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited to watch him. I know my best friend, Chad and Stacy, that's one of their favorite players. They enjoy watching him play. And each and every at-bat, you know, Morneau did a feature story on him earlier in the season, and he talked about his pregame workout. And now when I watch him hit, I can, you know, it's exactly what he said. He works on pitches that he likes to hit, and when the ball comes into that zone, he's got his swing plane ready for that particular pitch. So what a blessing that's been for him to come back. They missed him last year. That was an unstable position as far as consistency is concerned. But the Twins have got it going on. 1-9 right now. The Twins are not a team that you want to face when they come to town.
Well, you're right about that. No easy outs. They have 81 home runs on the season. They've hit a tater in 12 straight games now. Even the catching trifecta, and I realize Garver's out for a while, but how about these numbers? The threesome of Garver, Castro, and Ostadio so far has combined to hit 18 home runs, 9 for Garver, 7 for Castro, 2 for Ostadio. That if that's one person, that leads MLB.
Well, you know what? It's funny because you've seen me go to spring training the last 3 or 4 years. You know, we've met up down there by the bullpen, and we've discussed it. And again, this year when I went down there, that's where I sat for 3 days watching kids, you know, watching the guys, I say kids, but watching the players throw their bullpens. And I watched the catchers receive the pitches. And, you know, I can't think of the bullpen coach's name. But he's done a nice job with getting those guys. Garver, he can always hit. Garver can always hit. Their defense was the problem. His defense was the problem. But last year, he got an opportunity to play because Castro was out. It's coming to fruition this year because the offense is still there, but his catching is doing very, very well. It gives Rocco a lot of flexibility. You know, one of the notes I wrote down here was lineup flexibility. He can go, now that Sano is back, he can use Gonzalez at third, first, Sano at third or first, and Krohn at first base. He is the all-star for me this year. He's helped the infielders out quite a bit, but when the defense is solid, the pitching gets better.
Yeah, and first of all, I like the fact you took notes for this segment, Al. That tells me that you're ramping it up.
I always do, Eric, because I want to be prepared for you. Unlike our football journey that we had many, many years ago, you've always been very kind to me, and I want to be prepared for you.
Well, you're a great guy. You're a baseball ambassador for Minnesota at all levels, no doubt about it. And I know that my kid's playing tournaments this weekend and this raw stuff, Al, and I'm sure that you've been out watching games as well, right?
Yes, I have. I just can't stay away from the ballpark. But, you know, one of my friends gave me a note today, and 50 years ago. You know what happened 50 years ago?
Let's see. That would be 69?
1969, Rod Carew.
Oh, was he a rookie?
Rod Carew and Cesar Tovar showed 5 stolen bases in 1 inning.
Oh, wow. Great note.
Yeah, he gave me that tidbit today, and it was in the 3rd inning 50 years ago. 5 stolen bases. Rod stole 2nd, 3rd, and home, and Cesar stole 3rd and home. So it was, I just figured I'd throw that out to you today.
I like that. Al Newman providing us with baseball nuggets here on a sports Saturday. And I did want to ask you this, Al, because as you know, it's a long season and anything can happen. Are you okay with the bullpen? Now, right now, Parker, 7 saves, leads the team. Rogers, 4. And a lot of these games haven't been save situations. But yes. You know, middle relief, closing, are they set? Do they need to add any pitching?
Well, I keep saying to my friends that I have no insight on this, but I'm going to throw it out there. I keep saying, yeah, they're in talks with Kimbrel. They've got to be thinking about bringing him in. And matter of fact, I looked it up the other day to see what they would lose if you sign, a type A or whatever free agent he would be considered. It's their third draft choice. And I just think maybe after the draft is over, a lot of teams will be going after certain players. But I just think Kimbrel, if we brought him in, it's not my money. And it's hard to tell people how to spend their money. But if I had a shot to get Kimbrel to the length of my bullpen, with the offensive support that I have now, I think that's a no-brainer. And I'm not trying to put any pressure on anybody, but that's the guy that I'd be looking at.
All right. Well, I think we have the ear of the Minnesota Twins front office on occasion, so we'll see what happens, especially come June 1st when you won't have to give up a pick if you sign a Dallas Keuchel or a Craig Kimbrel. We're going to let you go, Al. I do want you to confirm or deny this. I was at the Final Four. The two games on Saturday and, of course, the championship on Monday, they kept putting Patrick Mahomes on the video board when Texas Tech was playing, the Chiefs quarterback, and I know you're a huge KC guy.
Sure.
Was that you stalking him at U.S. Bank Stadium? I looked like you. I couldn't tell.
I can try. You know what, Eric? I must confess, that was not me, but
okay.
I tell you what, I was excited that he was in Minnesota. I'm sure he felt quite comfortable, and I'm sure his dad was somewhere in the background. He didn't get the front row seats, but I'm sure he was in the stadium.
Did you ever see the young Patrick Mahomes at the Metrodome?
No, I didn't. You know, when Patrick was around, when I was around, I knew he was with the mom, but they had not had a young one yet. And,
okay.
So, therefore, I did not see him while I was, in the major leagues with the Minnesota Twins. I was in the minor leagues at that point in time.
Well, I did extensive prep for this interview just like you did, and my spies tell me you are currently wearing a Mahomes jersey.
I love you, Eric. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Al, always great to talk to you. Anything quickly to promote with youth baseball?
Well, I tell you what, we do have a golf tournament at the Legends Golf Course on August 7th, supporting the JP4 Foundation. And if you have an opportunity or you want to play golf, come on out. Just go to the website, jp4foundation.org, and come on out and help support the cause to help young children play the game of baseball. They get better by playing sports. And as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that I'm a big proponent of trying to help the youth of tomorrow.
Yeah, you do a great job. Thanks so much, Al.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Al Newman, 2-time World Series champion with the Twins, 87 and 91, but an even bigger champion off the field. He does so much for the game of baseball here in Minnesota. It's 722 on CCO. Brooks Koepka trying to go wire to wire at the PGA Championship. Bethpage Black, New York State. Welcome back. 48 degrees, overcast skies, wind out of the east at 17 here on a sports Saturday. The LP edition going longer than normal. Eric with you. Esme, normally in on a Saturday night, but bumped because the Twins are out there in Seattle getting set to play the Mariners. 8:30 pregame, 9:10 first pitch. Don't forget Twins Magazine. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Phil Miller, who covers the ball club. He's out at T-Mobile Park for the Star Tribune. But back to Koepka. So 3 rounds are in. He only shot par today. A 70, which was much different than round one. The record-setting 63, yesterday a 65, but he's still at 12 under. And Koepka, 7 shots ahead of Dustin Johnson, Luke List, Jazz, Jana Wantand, and Harold Varner III. So it would take a meltdown by Koepka tomorrow to not win the PGA Championship for a second straight season. He went into the day with the largest 36-hole lead in a major in 84 years. Koepka has really had a lot of success recently in the PGA. Don't forget he finished second in the Masters behind Tiger. That got eclipsed by the incredible story that was Tiger Woods at Augusta in August. Some sports nuggets here for you. When it comes to success, the Milwaukee Bucks and Brewers are now ahead of the Green Bay Packers on Wisconsin's sports totem pole. I'm not saying they're more popular. It'll always be a Packers state. We know that. But as far as success, the Bucks and Brewers are ahead of the Packers. Packers have gone two straight years without making the playoffs. I don't really know what they're going to do in 2019. They still have A-Rodge. We know that. They've tried to upgrade a leaky defense. They have a new head coach, Matt LaFleur, comes out of Tennessee, young guy. Mike McCarthy gone. But right now, it's about the Bucks. Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, up 2-0 over Toronto. And the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers, had a deep playoff run last season, lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, and this year the Brewers are a game and a half back of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central, so they're very much in the hunt. In fact, Milwaukee might have something that's very rare, dual MVPs. You had Yelich, Kristen Yelich, is just, he's the bomb, right?
My favorite player
and
right
I think Giannis is, if he doesn't win the MVP this season, they may want to investigate. He's my choice. I realize James Harden, Kawhi Leonard. You've got some other solid candidates. But you could have a couple of MVPs in the state of Wisconsin, in the city of Milwaukee.
Besides any Twins player, Kristen Yelich is my favorite player. He's a class act. And I don't know why you're laughing, but...
No, I'm good with it. I'm laughing out of, like, just sheer amazement.
And it's Milwaukee, but again, I don't hate the Brewers. Maybe it's because they're in a different conference or baseball, I guess, a different league, technically. But I love Kristen Yelich.
And he's the reigning MVP, correct?
Is he?
In the National League? Yes. And he may win it back-to-back. Jonathan Lowe's still here. He confirmed that.
Stats guy.
Yelich right now leads the majors with 18 home runs, and he's second in the NL with 40 RBI behind Cody Bellinger, who's another guy having an outstanding season. So George Springer has put up good numbers. Jorge Polanco of the Twins, wow, he's been amazing. He leads the AL with a .331 batting. Bellinger batting .404. Bellinger right now a serious triple crown candidate because he's on top in the National League with the average, on top in RBI, and second in home runs behind Yelich. And yeah, again, you don't start talking seriously about a guy hitting over 400 on May 18th.
Yeah.
But if he gets it into June, the conversation will come up.
It will come up, but if I was a betting man, I'd put almost any money I have on that he doesn't finish
above 400. You'd be a smart man to do so because it hasn't happened since Ted Williams in the late 1940s, I believe.
Jonathan, can you confirm that?
Last 400 hitter, Ted Williams, 47, 46, something like that. It's been a ridiculous amount of time. And I don't know which record is going to stand longer, Ted Williams, the last guy to hit 400 or better, or Joe D's 56-game consecutive hitting streak. I don't think that one's falling anytime soon either.
Oh, that's a great – I'm going 400 won't be –
So you think somebody could hit 56 straight or 57 before they'd hit over 400 in a season?
Yeah, lately we've seen some pretty decent runs as far as consecutive games with a hit. I mean, Altuve batted, what, maybe .350 a couple years ago? That's a great question.
I would say it won't happen for this reason only. I remember Pete Rose once went 44 straight. I think Molly went 40. And not that there wasn't pressure on Joe DiMaggio playing in New York City with the Yankees, but in this era,
that's
Instagram, Twitterverse, Snapchat, Facebook, talk radio, TV, newspaper. I mean, the daily scrutiny, the being under the microscope, it would take one tough cookie to be able to not crack.
So here's my comeback is with today's era, it's more about home runs than average for the most part. So the strikeouts are obviously up. Home runs are greatly up. So I see someone pause. I mean, that's a great question you pose, and I don't think maybe those will ever be broken.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see it happen anytime soon. But at this point in time, Cody Bellinger of the L.A. Dodgers is batting .404. And let's not forget, once upon a time, Rod Carew hit .388 for the Twins. And George Brett, I think, hit .390 for Kansas City. And Tony Gwynn, I believe, was right around there one year for the San Diego Padres. They have been the guys that have come the closest in recent history. 731 here on CCO. Well, we've now segued into the Twins Magazine show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Nelson. It is 48 degrees outside. Overcast skies. Our studio coordinator is Devin Hester Marshall. 7:36 on the clock. Twins and Mariners game 3 from the Emerald City tonight. Twins have won the first two games of the series. Before we get to that, in case you missed it, Hope Brandner, a walk-off home run for Minnesota, and the Gophers beat Georgia in the eighth inning at the softball regional in Dinkytown. And so the number 7 seed Gophers will play starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow, weather permitting, and they only have to win once to move to the super regional. So congrats to the Gophers who win it in walk-off fashion. We'll go out to Seattle now, and joining us our good friend Phil Miller from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He covers the Twins along with Lavallee Neal the third. And Phil, always great to have you on. And let's just start with what we saw last night, what you saw at T-Mobile Park. Martin Perez, tell us about the kind of year he's having. Why has he been so much better in 2019 than he has been in previous seasons?
Well, he says it's because he's a completely different pitcher. The Twins sold him on, if you come here, we think we can help you regain the form that helped him win 13 games a couple of years ago. They've added a cutter. They've shown him how well it works and given him the confidence to throw it at any time in any count. He now throws that pitch more than any other. He mixed in a bunch of changeups last night. He kept the top home run hitting team in the league without a home run. It's been a pretty sensational story since he went into the rotation. He's now 6-1. Even the one loss, he gave him a chance to win. You almost wonder if the Twins wish they had him in the rotation from the start. He was kind of the odd man out and was in the bullpen for the first 3 weeks of the season. But he gives them 3 6-game winners just 44 games into the season. It's the starting rotation really has been remarkable.
Yeah, Jake Odorizzi, Jose Berríos with 6 wins each as well, and Berríos on the bump tonight for Minnesota. And you know, you're around this team a lot, Phil. So in the off season, Derek Falvey, Thad LaVine, the signature move, of course, was letting go of Molly, bringing in Rocco. And then they make these other moves, Nelson Cruz, Jonathan Scope, C.J. Crone, and, they start doing things here, doing things there. But there really seems like there has been a method to their madness. Everything's paying off.
It really is, and especially this last month, everything has really fallen into place. Today, by the way, is the one-month anniversary since the last time a Twin starter didn't go at least 5 innings. If you watch the Twins the last couple of years, you know that was the bane of Paul Molitor's existence. That it seemed once or twice a week somebody would just go 2 2/3 or 4 innings, and you'd have to empty the bullpen just to get through that day. The Twins have used their bullpen less than any team in the majors, except for Cleveland, by one inning this season. They're keeping everybody well rested. They have it's a bunch of guys. Maybe you don't know their names, but they've come through. And you have to give Derek Falvey and Thad LaVine the credit for seeing something in most of these bullpen guys that maybe other teams didn't.
And Rocco, I mean, here's a guy who comes in, and sometimes when you're the new sheriff in town, you want to sweep it all out and bring your own guys in. And he did that to some degree. I mean, Wes Johnson's the new pitching coach. He came out of the collegiate ranks, and, Jeremy Hefner's the assistant pitching coach. But he kept Derek Shelton. He kept James Rowson. So it was a nice blend. He mixed things up, and it seems like he's got a good staff.
Yeah, it is a good staff, and it really works well together. You know, the fact that Rousen and Derek were both candidates for the manager's job. When they didn't get it, they decided to stay on the staff. That really says something about how the organization is doing it, keeping the talent together. It is seems like a very harmonious staff, worked very well together, and you know, with Rocco at the head of it, he very much leads by consensus, kind of the way Derek Falvey does. He has a lot of meetings with his coaches and listens to a lot of ideas and lets everyone feel like they have a part in what's going on, and it has paid off.
Phil Miller, our guest, he's at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, getting ready to cover the Twins and Mariners tonight for the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
With, I have to say, Eric, a lot of Twins fans. I have not seen this many Twins fans in a West Coast ballpark in a long time. There are Puckett and Mauer jerseys everywhere.
Well, you got to love the Pacific Northwest. And I remember I was at the Viking-Seahawk game last December. And now, granted, that's a hardcore Seahawk fan base, but you saw a lot of purple as well. I think Minnesotans like going out to that part of the world, Phil.
Yeah, it sure seems so. Last night ended up at a diner that was still open after the game, and Trevor May and his family were in there, and there must have been at least a dozen Twins jerseys sitting in the place getting a meal after the game. You always see a few Twins fans, but just as I'm saying this, somebody in a Kadir jersey just walked through my line of sight.
Well, that's good stuff. We appreciate the play-by-play on that. And I was looking at the Seattle Times earlier today, and they had talked about Nelson Cruz. Of course, he goes back to Seattle, couldn't play. He's on the DL, but got the nice ovation, the video tribute on Thursday. And they were just gushing about his impact in Seattle, and he's the guy they built the nap room for, and I know they have a nap room now for the Twins at Target Field. Explain to me how the nap room has come into the lexicon of MLB in 2019, Phil.
That is a really unusual talent that Nelson Cruz has. That you come to the ballpark, you do your work, you get all revved up and ready to play, and then he goes and he sleeps for half an hour, and by all accounts, he's not just resting his eyes; he falls asleep. He's such a towering figure in the clubhouse. The Mariners were happy to accommodate him, and the Twins have been too. I haven't seen it spread to a lot of his teammates yet, but it certainly seems to work for him, and more power to him.
What have you seen so far? The early impressions, Miguel Sano coming back to a team that's on top of the division by 5.5 games. And, hey, he doesn't have to be Superman.
Yeah, in fact, he's batting seventh. And really, that seems to be where he fits in this lineup now, especially even with Garver and Cruz out of the lineup. They're pressure is off. They're hoping it has the same effect on Miguel that it had on Byron Buxton. Allows him to just kind of ease his way in and not try to do too much. You know, for 5 or 6 years, the team has heard about Buxton and Sano and Buxton, and now it was their team, and maybe it will still be. But the Twins and Rocco is doing a good job of not making it about them, about being part of the line. Sano has looked, I think he's looked good at the plate. He's not getting many calls. He had a third strike called on him last night where, boy, he barely twitched, and they said he went around. He has looked comfortable, had a couple of doubles on in his first game back on Thursday, and back in there tonight.
Phil, I talk to a lot of fans around Twins territory, and the general vibe I get is they're excited, no doubt about it, but I think some are still, you know, wary about totally buying in or jumping in with both feet, just because, you know, Minnesota sports fans have this Eeyore complex that nothing ever really works out in our favor. But my take is this is sustainable, that this team's going to go to the postseason barring a total collapse or a bunch of injuries. How do you view it? You're around this team a lot.
Well, I can understand the skepticism, given that you know, that Cruz and Scope and Crone, the three guys that have really led to this power surge, kind of fell into their laps this offseason. They were unwanted by their previous teams, and the Twins swooped in. I don't know that it was this great thought-out master plan. It was just, these guys make sense. Let's get them. They're trying to build from within, and all of a sudden they got such a jolt from the outside that's kind of unusual. You know, the Twins and the Timberwolves, and I can't say the Vikings necessarily, but their history with outside free agents, a lot of them don't pan out, but this seems to have been great pickups for the Twins. I will say that they're at the point now where 5.5 games up on Cleveland, Cleveland without Corey Kluber, Cleveland not hitting as well as I expected them to. They have 60-some games remaining with the Indians, White Sox, Royals, and Tigers. And especially the last three are, you know, building for a couple of years down the road. That is a lot of games that the Twins should be able to fatten the record up on. So I can't say I was a believer when the season started, but 5.5 games up, fourth of the way through the season, it's time to start believing.
All right, final thought. I mean, there's a lot of fixation on the home runs, and I get it. Chicks dig the long ball, that whole thing, 81, and it's worth talking about. But I look at runs scored, and they're third in MLB. Only Houston and the LA Dodgers have scored more than the Twins, mm-hmm. who have 240 on the board. That's a pretty gaudy number, isn't it?
That's going to cover up a lot of pitches.
Exactly.
I think they are, if they keep this up, the payroll is at such a state that they will be able to add at the deadline, maybe pick off another bullpen arm. Honestly, I can't think of what else they really need to shop for other than bullpen help at this point. I think that those runs is a big part of what they're doing. And again, it's coming from outside the organization. It has really transformed this team. They have homered in 12 straight games now. The franchise record is 16, and Seattle and Anaheim aren't hard places to hit home runs. So be interested to see if they make a little history along the way.
All right, good stuff as always, Phil. Enjoy the Emerald City. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Eric. Talk to you later.
All right, he's Phil Miller, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Catch his stuff, startribune.com. Twins and Mariners coming up later tonight. This is the Twins Magazine Show on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.